thank you very much. But I'm going to also answer on behalf of Rwanda on one issue. So please forgive me because I'm going to take advantage. I was hoping you would mention it. But Spain asked about innovative solution. And while we might not consider it innovative, I think it's probably one of the most important solutions that have been posited that has been extremely successful. And this is the Rwandan example. The ambassador, of course, mentioned it already, but I would like to reiterate it. The National Development Plan was hinged on everybody putting their funding through the plan. We have a problem in many countries across the world where you will sometimes find two schools built right next to each other, or two hospitals or clinics next to each other, because donors did not look at the national development plan of those countries. Now, in Rwanda's case, they were required to do so by the government. So it's also very positive that the government did that. And what you do have now is a scenario where it is the development plan that is being fulfilled, which I think is fantastic. And it did have elements of gender in it, but I don't want to say more than that because I think the ambassador might know more than me, and I don't want to get into trouble. But I'd like to go to some of the questions, and I have 5 points. I think some of them did touch on what I spoke about. The first is the issue of participation, and I think I tried to touch on it. It is the power imbalance in the spaces. But because there's a power imbalance in those spaces, what you start to see, for example, is that human rights specialists, so development specialists, will not be seen in the financial institutions. They will not be present. Their positions will not be clear. I mean, I'd like to ask if any of the mechanism members have actually ever been invited, for example, for the annual or the spring meetings of the IMF and the World Bank, right? This is a conversation that we have to have. And frankly, neither have I. And I'm not asking for an invitation, but it's about who's participating and then who's meaningfully participating as well. So it's important to have people in the space, but it's also important to have the specialists in the space. And often I find that they're not included. And so that is what I think would be my take home on, you know, adding layers into the participation spaces. One of the challenges facing these meetings that are taking place is actually that now you have certain bodies of the UN that are finding it very difficult to be present there right now, because the push of it doesn't include this human rights approach or even a developmental approach at all. But the other thing that Spain raised is the issue of indivisibility. And this is where I have a struggle, because I always tell people there's blood in the data. And I say there's blood in the data because it's one thing to have a pledge or a promise, and it's another thing to have a budget allocation in your national budget to a certain element. And so what I see more and more is that you cannot even talk about the immediate realization of rights. You can just speak about progressive realization of all rights from a financial perspective. It's about countries putting commitments, even at their domestic level, on financing certain rights. And there are always priorities. And that means there's always other issues that are not a priority. And so, at least from my perspective, actually recognizing that is something really important in today's world that I don't think we really do enough of. Because at the end of the day, when we look at the next iteration of the FFD, no matter what we say about the indivisibility of human rights, at the end of the day, it is about financial priorities. And we see that over and over again. But when you look at issues of pollution, I want to also reiterate that in my report last year, I actually pointed out the fact that currently the most polluting entity in the world is actually the U.S. Defense Forces. So let's deal with who is polluting and where they're polluting. Instead of dealing with, you know, whether or not people are using solar panels in their houses. I mean, for me, the reality is really counterindicative. And frankly, right now, pollution is being caused by an extreme amount of military use in certain parts of the world. So the pollution quotient there is incredible. And so we need to talk about that, because what I see in climate finance is actually a trade-off. It's individual human beings across the world, you and I, that are being held responsible for pollution and controlling how much we're polluting. But actually the entities that are polluting, the big entities that are polluting, are actually not taking a serious step towards it. The other thing I think is important is that while we talk about the Gini coefficients and the data sets that we're using, UNDESA has actually developed a multidimensional index. And I think it's a very important index to look at. It was specifically developed by the SIDS and the LDCs. And it's something that I think that they take quite seriously as well. And to the comments from APG23 on the issue of justice and solidarity, my report on fiscal legitimacy actually centers itself on justice as one of the cornerstone principles to go with. And I think that that feeds in really well to the report that's being discussed today. But we also have this UN Framework Convention on International Cooperation, which I think is also an important thing to consider. But I would like to conclude that while we speak about issues that are very, very important, I think that one of the biggest issues that are missing in this space is a principled-based approach to conversations and an honesty in the space. And I think that it's one thing to talk about the rights that we stand for, but it's very important to put finances next to it and make sure that they are realized. Thank you.